Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Sunday the 12th of December and it's week 4 of our Advent adventure through the Book of Ruth, finding hope under Bethlehem skies. And today we're going to take a broad sweep right throughout the book, looking at the areas of being empty and being full. Empty in our lives and yet filled with God's fullness and finding the fullness of Christ. But before we do that, just a couple of announcements today. Want to remind you that we have a prayer meeting each week at 9:30 on a Wednesday morning, and you're more than welcome to join with us for that. This year, we're also having our drive-in cinema at Christmas again in partnership with the Port Stewart Community Association. There's going to be two screenings, 5:30 on Monday the 20th of December, and then a second screening at 7 o'clock. 5:30 is a Muppet Christmas Carol, primarily for younger viewers and families to come along. And then at 7 o'clock, we're having a Miracle on 34th Street. And last year, we were quite limited for space, but we know now that we can fit more cars into the car park. So there'll be plenty of space, and you're more than welcome to come along from wherever you are to join with us. There'll be a booking charge of £5, which you will pay on the website whenever you book online. That hasn't gone live yet, but as soon as we have details of that, they will be on the front page of the website, so do keep checking that. Also, if you're on our mailing list, our email mailing list, then I'll send out notification of that as well. Do remember that we have also launched our World Development Appeal for this year, concentrating on Ethiopia and Haiti. There are envelopes available in the vestibule in church, or you can just use an ordinary envelope, write your name and your and World Development Appeal on the envelope, and then we'll make sure that that goes to the right place. And if you are writing checks or anything, just make them payable to Burnside Presbyterian Church, and then we will pass them on. So that's all of our announcements. Let's worship God together. And we're reminded in the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm has a lot to say about being full before the Lord in verse 5. But I just want to read all of the Psalm today as we begin to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's begin our time together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you today because you are the one who anoints our heads with oil, and therefore our cup overflows. You're the good and generous God who provides for us abundantly day after day. And you pour out your grace upon grace and your mercy to us. And Lord, we worship you because of that today. Lord, we give thanks today that you're the one who has come to this earth. You're not a God who remains far off and rules from afar, but you have come here to dwell. We think of how John described that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And today, Lord, we pray that you would make your dwelling among us and in us through your Holy Spirit. We've seen your glory, the glory of the one and only who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. And today, Lord, we pray for that fullness in our lives. And Lord, as John says, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And Lord, that is the fullness that we long for today, your grace and truth in our lives. Lord, we worship you today because no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So Lord, we pray today that through Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, you would make yourself known to us and we would worship you. For in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Lord, we thank you for that fullness. And we pray that whenever we feel empty, Lord, we would look to you and realize the abundance that you have given to us. Forgive us, Lord, whenever we have looked elsewhere to be filled. Forgive us, Lord, whenever we have complained about being empty. Forgive us, Lord, whenever we have doubted your provision. And today, Lord, help us to trust in you and to follow you and to honor you. For, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together today from the fourth chapter of Ruth. And although we're reading this fourth chapter, we're going to take a broad look right throughout the whole book and pick up these themes in all that we're reading. I hope you've been following what we've been doing on Sundays, a broad sweep throughout the book. And during the week on Beside the Burn on the blog, we've looked at the specific verses and the order that they come and worked our way through the book. And you can go back and listen to old ones of those, and you can follow along day by day, Monday to Friday. So let's read God's Word, Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the king's man, Redeemer, he had mentioned, came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you redeem it, do so, but if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this the kinsman Redeemer said, "Well, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today, you are my witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, Boaz, the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. You know, usually there are two types of people in life. There's the optimist and the pessimist. Show them a glass of water and the pessimist will describe it as half empty, focusing on the negative. And the optimist will, however, look at the positive and describe the glass as half full. But today, I want to suggest that there is a third option, and this little graphic explains it beautifully. As well as the optimist and the pessimist, we also encounter the psalmist. The psalmist doesn't have a glass that is half empty or a glass that is half full. The psalmist has a cup that is overflowing. And we read from Psalm 23 earlier, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Today then, as we continue the story of Ruth, we're going to explore a theme that runs right throughout the book and leads us to the hope that we find in Bethlehem and Jesus Christ. And that is the theme of being either empty or full. And hopefully, we will find hope when we are full in Jesus Christ. There are all sorts of examples of emptiness and fullness within the story. We begin in the very first verse with Bethlehem being empty. There was a famine in Bethlehem. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The famine is there in Bethlehem. It is empty of food, and therefore it is empty of blessing. And of course, it's not just Bethlehem, but it's the whole nation of Israel, because Elimelech and Naomi had to go to Moab before they were able to settle and before they found food. But what we also discover in the story is that Moab is empty. It may be full of physical food, but spiritually there is an emptiness about Moab and an emptiness about those who live there. They are truly cut off from the blessing of God. They don't know the one true living God. They don't understand his word and his ways. And therefore, the people of Moab are truly empty. And Naomi and her husband and sons go there to find fullness, but they only find emptiness. Then there's also Naomi. Naomi is empty as she's left with no husband and no sons. Both Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husbands. She is empty. Her womb is empty as she realizes that she couldn't produce potential husbands for Ruth and Orpha quickly enough. And so she tells them to return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? By returning with Naomi, they were basically resigning themselves to the fact that they wouldn't be able to have families and they would have no security. And Naomi is saying, look, cut your ties with me and go and find hope elsewhere. Naomi even gives us the description of her life in terms of being empty and of being full. She says, don't call me Naomi whenever she got back to Bethlehem. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. And yet, whenever we look closely at her life, we discover that Naomi isn't really empty, because as chapter 1 closes, there are at least two aspects of fullness for Naomi that she seems to have forgotten about. And they're found in the very next verse, verse 22. Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as a barley harvest was beginning. Naomi is not empty because she has Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And although Ruth may be seen as a problem at this stage, because Naomi realises that she's another woman, she's a Moabite, she has nothing in the world, all the blessing is going to come through Ruth. Also, they have arrived back at barley harvest. It's a time of fullness rather than a time of famine. They left in famine, they return at harvest. There couldn't be a greater contrast. So Naomi coming back is nowhere near empty. In fact, she's almost overflowing with fullness, although she doesn't realise it yet. Things have changed in Bethlehem. And the harvest doesn't just mean that there is food, it means that they're going to have a potential income, and it means that there is blessing in Bethlehem again. So having come from a foreign land where there is no God, they come back to Bethlehem and God is blessing his people. The timing is perfect. But what about Ruth? Well, when Boaz invites Ruth to eat with his workers, she arrives at the meal empty. She's hungry. She's been working hard. But she leaves full. Indeed, like the psalmist in Psalm 23, she not only leaves full, but she leaves overflowing. At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come over here, have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And Ruth goes back to Naomi from the harvest, full, carrying grain, but also she brings this roasted grain out as well. The abundance, the overflow of her lunch, she shares with Naomi. She also comes back with an incredible amount of barley, an ephah of barley, much more than they expected her to be able to gather. So out of her apron, she produces an abundance and lays it before Naomi. We're told Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. Then also we find these themes of emptiness and fullness again with Ruth whenever she goes to Boaz in the middle of the night at the threshing floor. Remember we read that last week, that strange encounter of Ruth going there and presenting herself to Boaz and asking him to redeem her. She goes in the middle of the night to the threshing floor, and it's important that Ruth shouldn't go back to Naomi empty. So Boaz sends her back once again full with barley. He also said, "Bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out." And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then he went back to town. And again, out of her apron, out of her shawl, Ruth produces an abundance. And Ruth explains it to Naomi like this. "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" So again, we see that God is a God of blessing. He is taking people who are empty and he is filling them to overflowing. And then we have the most incredible fullness right at the end of the story. Whereas before, Ruth had been producing barley from her shawl and presenting it to Naomi, now Ruth produces a son from her womb. Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. And therefore the hope of the family is restored, and the hope of a nation then is in anticipation. And our hope is promised in the birth of that child in Bethlehem, because we're looking forward to his descendant, to Jesus Christ, the promised one, coming and being born. So we have all these wonderful things happening. And we look at ourselves today, and if we seem empty, we come to God and we find fullness. The hope under Bethlehem skies that we are seeking to find is the fullness of Jesus Christ. And there are a couple of different aspects to this. We put our hope in Jesus because he is God and all the fullness of God dwells in him. And then we invite him into our lives and we receive the fullness that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, is the fullness of God. He's not just like a tiny little sample of God. He is God in all the fullness and brings all the blessing of God. Paul tells us in Colossians 2, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you've been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And that changes everything. God is no longer to be approached through just ritual and sacrifice. The curtain in the temple has been torn in two and access to God has been exposed. Not only is the fullness of God dwelling in Christ, but now we've been given fullness in him. He dwells in us with all that fullness. John also has some critical information for us as he describes the coming of Jesus in the opening chapter of his gospel. This is a chapter that we often read at Christmas and it explains what the fullness of Christ really is. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ comes to us from the Father, full of grace and truth. And how much does our world not need grace and truth today? What a blessing it would be if we all accepted that grace and truth and acted with it in our daily lives. We see so much deceit. We see so much bitterness. And we pray that those things would be replaced with this grace and this truth. That's where our hope comes from, under these Bethlehem skies. Again, in John's Gospel, from the fullness of his grace, we all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's no wonder in a world that has rejected Christ that grace has been set aside instead of claiming our rights, and truth has been set aside and replaced with deceit and lies. Eugene Peterson translates these couple of verses in the Message like this, and it focuses on the gift that we receive from God at Christmas. We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. So where are our lives on a scale from empty to full? Do we speak like Naomi and say, "Oh, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter, because I've got nothing, I'm totally empty"? Or do we come and say, "Praise you, Lord, for filling me with Christ's grace and truth, and all your fullness dwell in me and fill me day by day"? Can we come like the psalmist and say, my cup runneth over. I'm filled and I'm overflowing. The blessings are abundant. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Let's give thanks together in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you today for your goodness to us, for your blessings that you pour into our lives that are overflowing day by day by day, gift after gift after gift. And Lord, we worship you. Lord, may we know your fullness dwelling in us day by day. May we know your grace and truth. And Lord, may we live our lives with your grace and truth, that others may come to know you and trust in you. Lord, we thank you for this time together today. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us today in our time of worship. You're very welcome to come along any Sunday. Looking ahead, we will be having our normal Christmas morning service in the church building at 10 a.m. And then Boxing Day is a Sunday this year, so we will be having our Sunday service at 11 a.m. as well, at 11 a.m. So do remember that, Christmas morning, 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Boxing Day. And both of those will be live streamed as well. So thank you for joining with us, and may God bless you this day.